From the Mazda State Street Studio in downtown Chicago.
This is WMVP AM Chicago.
This is the ultimate post-game show.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was going to bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth!
Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Clouds!
King of Crap!
The Colossus of Clouds! The Colossus of Clouds!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. And our producer this week is Eric Ostrowski. We're on every Saturday morning from 7 to 8. If you have questions about the value of an item, a collectible, or something that's been sitting in your garage for 20 years or 50 years, give us a call, 312-332-3776. We'll try to tell you if you have any value to your item, if it might be good enough to go in a Huggins and Scott auction. We'll be talking about some of the things, the pricing of items that ended in the May Huggins and Scott auction, and also give you some previews of some of the things that are coming up in their August auction. For instance, there's a group of items signed by Mo Berg. Mo Berg has a movie coming out about him. Paul Rudd is playing Mo Berg. The movie's going to be called The Catcher Was a Spy, and they've added a couple actors. We did an this is an update on it. I guess they started filming of The Catcher Was a Spy. And Paul Giamatti and Jeff Daniels are also in this movie. So I can't I'm hoping this is going to be well done. Yep.
So the title, Catcher Is a Spy?
The Catcher Was a Spy.
It's kind of a catchy title.
It is.
Catchy title.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Thanks.
But there was a book, I think, by that name that they based this off of. He was a really interesting guy, a genius. Just an average catcher. Like, he went on a trip to Japan with guys like Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth in the 30s. They're like, what's Mo Berg doing there? And I guess he was spying on Japan for, you know, the war stuff. So
what a fascinating life, huh?
Yeah. Now, this lot has a $750 minimum bid, Bill. Have you noticed any bump or anybody talking about Mo Berg yet, just with the fact that the movie's coming out, or you think it'll take until after the movie actually comes out before there gets any buzz about him?
Oh, actually, the reason we got this lot was because of the movie coming out.
Oh, really?
The perfect timing of releasing the movie. I don't think Mo Berg's going to get any hotter in the year 2017 than than when his movie's coming out.
Yeah. I wonder if it'll be late this year or into next year. You know, you never know how long it's going to take on something like that, but we'll keep an eye on it, because I hope the reviews are good on it, too, because I'd really like to see this movie. If it's well done, it could be a fantastic movie. And that's a good cast there.
Absolutely.
So far, so we'll see what happens. Now, let's see, what else was I going to talk about today? Also in Huggins and Scott, in the May auction, there was an 1887 N172 Old Judge Sam Thompson card, graded SGC-4, which is VG Excellent, went for $1,100. Sam Thompson, I guess, was the first player with 200 hits in a season, and his 166 RBI record, he had the RBI record with 166 till Babe Ruth broke it. And now I think it's still, the ex-Cub, Hack Wilson. Doesn't he still have the RBI record?
180 or something like that.
I think that's still the RBI record. So that was kind of interesting. I didn't know that he was the first guy with 200 hits. And Sam Thompson, I like those old judge cards. And you think, I wonder what's going through their mind, you know, if they knew that what these cards would be, you know, in the future, when they're like, what's this thing? You know, what? No big deal at all.
So, also in the auction, that 1887 Kalamazoo Bats Pittsburgh team card only known example, and you see these guys, there's about 8-9 guys in this picture. I mean, this is amazing from 1887.
Yeah, and you look at them and you're thinking, boy, yeah, that 140 years later or whatever, or 30 years, that people would be talking about them in a radio show in Chicago. Like I said, that one time I thought, yeah, I wonder if they'd ever imagine they'd be on the radio. The radio wasn't even invented in 1887.
Right.
Well, the number here is 312-332-3776. You can give us a call with a question about an item, or if you want to tweet a picture of an item to my attention, T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. And if we use the item on the show, then you get in the drawing. We're giving away a box of 2016-17 Panini Threads basketball, which is a pretty nice product. I think there's two hits per box, maybe an autograph and a memorabilia. So give us a call, 312-332-3776. People bringing stuff in a lot during the week. One of the guys that brought some stuff in, we actually sent it into Huggins and Scott for the August auction. Mike from Hinckley had a really nice collection of 60s stuff. He had two Nolan Ryan rookies and two Johnny Bench rookies.
Very nice.
So we'll see how good a condition, if they grade out, or I don't know if Bill, how many things that come in that you get a chance to see. Did you happen to see the Bench and Ryan rookies that came in?
Yeah, actually, I talked with, I think you said his name was Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, I actually talked with him because if you went through that book that he sent, that notebook that had all those cards in it, there's just no way. I mean, he had five Seavers and six, you know, Carews and Mazes and stuff. So I called him and said, where are the rest of the cards? Where are the other 2,000 of the cards? He says, oh, I have them. I didn't think they were worth anything. So you're going to see those as well.
Okay, yeah, I didn't even realize that. I thought he had only saved the better names and tossed the other stuff.
Oh, you know, well, I find that's a lot of times the case where people will bring in just the stars, and I'll ask them, is this part of a bigger collection? They go, well, yeah, I got a whole big box full of them at home, but I went through and pulled out the names I recognized.
Oh.
No. Bring them all in.
Yeah, that's good advice, because sometimes, you know, if you have a near set, and like
with two
Nolan Ryan rookies, for instance, you could, if you have them, if one's like gradable, you could do one of the Ryans by itself as a high grade, just Ryan in a lot, and then have a near set with a Ryan in the other one. Yeah, that would actually be very good.
If the others were just sitting in a box for all those years, they're probably in really good condition.
Probably not that
just
bad.
Haven't been, you know,
that's right,
played with or touched.
That's right. Probably not that bad at all. How about Vince? How about how impressive Ian Happ has been
amazing
for the Cubs? We were talking about this before the show. Switch hitter comes up. It looked like they were just going to bring him up for a game or two to fill in because Bryant was sick and somebody else was hurt. Hayward was hurt.
Right.
And he comes up. I've watched some of his at-bats. I'll stop to watch him. And he's so relaxed and calm, and he's just making great contact.
He's a natural athlete.
He really looks
good. He should not be sent down. They got to find a spot for him, like you said earlier, maybe like in a Zobrist type of role, you know, just kind of backing up everywhere.
I mean, he's played center field, left field, right field, second. I think he's played third.
I bet he could catch if he needed to, you know?
He probably could. It is like a younger Zobrist.
Yep.
You know, but I think he's got more power than Zobrist, actually, and he's fast.
Yep.
I don't know. That'd be a hard guy to send down the way he's, and they put him in the cleanup spot, and he's like, whoa. So
I think they should put him at the top and maybe move Schwarber down.
Well, you know? I'd like to see Schwarber move down and somebody else at the top figure it out. When they brought Happ up, I thought maybe that's what they were thinking of doing, but he seems pretty comfortable in the middle of the order too, so I don't know.
Yep.
Somebody has to bat leadoff.
Right.
Originally, I thought they could do the combination of Almora and Jay, you know, whoever's playing, it's a platoon, so maybe the one guy that's playing that day could bat leadoff, but they've been batting them nine, so I don't know. I guess
a lot of tough decisions. A lot of guys you want to find playing time for, and maybe not enough spots.
Yeah,
you know?
I like Bryant more in the third spot myself too. I don't know. Maybe they could put somebody in and just move everybody back one or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. So let's see, the number is 312-332-3776. You can call us with a question about the value of an item. Bryce from Michigan. Are you from Michigan City, Bryce, or for somewhere actually in Michigan?
Yes, I'm actually from Jones, Michigan.
Okay.
Jones, Michigan, up near Niles, Michigan.
Very good. Michigan. What's up? What do you have?
My mother had a friend of a friend that knew somebody on the White Sox that went out to dinner and things in the past, and she has a baseball that's in mint condition, and I'm not sure of the year, but there is some of the names I remember reading were Al Lopez, Manny Manoso, Louis Aparicio, Hoyt Wilhelm, but there was also a Tommy John on there, I thought.
So that's probably about a mid-60s ball, something like that. And if that's the case with the White Sox, it might be 150, 200. Maybe, I'm not sure what year Tommy John came up and what year Manny Manoso ended, maybe 64, something like that. But, you know, not a bad ball, but it probably doesn't have Nelson Fox on there.
Don't think so. Yeah. I would have to look at it again. I haven't seen it in about 5 years, but
yeah. But usually, a ball like that will sell if it's in good shape. But you know, at least in the $100 to $200 range, when it's a team ball from the '60s, if it has at least 20 signatures on it, still a good ball without a doubt. Tommy John, isn't that something? Now, I'm sure when he was starting his career, he never thought there'd be a surgery named after him.
How coincidental!
Yeah. I guess he has guys that'll be, your name's Tommy John. It's like, wow, isn't that something? And there's a surgery with that same name. It's like, yeah, it was named after me. All right. Let's see what else we have coming here. Here's something interesting that was in the May Huggins and Scott auction. A 1928,000 Federal Reserve note. PCGS fine 15 was the grade, went for $1,900. Okay, here we go.
Oh, it's
inflation
time.
Calculator. $1,000 in 1928 is equal to how much in 2017? So $1,000 in 1928. Eric can give a guess in this too if he wants, and Bill can guess.
I'm going to say $12,000.
$12,000.
Yes.
Okay, Eric, what idea do you have for 1928? $1,000. What's that worth now?
I'll say it's worth, I'm going to go high. I'm going to go 31,000.
Whoa.
Real
31,000.
I'm guessing. Going big.
Okay. Vince is at 12. Bill, what are you going to guess on that one?
I'm going to go 18.
18,000. Well, I looked it up on two different inflation calculators, and they gave me two different prices, but at least they were close.
Okay.
One was 13,924. So Vince, you win this one.
I think I win this one.
Actually, the price is right. You are under, but close. And the other one was 14,299.
Wow.
So
I think that's deserving of winning both showcases. You know, if you're that close, you can actually win both things.
Yeah, yeah, right. Is that how the price is right?
I think so. You got to be within $100 or something like that.
Was it Let's Make a Deal that had the three things that
yes.
you out on the
Monty
stage?
Hall.
And one of them would be like a cow or
that's
something.
Right, that's right. Carol Merrill would
Carol
be, you
Merrill,
know,
yeah, yeah.
Do the box thing.
Let's Make a Deal. You can see we were wasting our time as kids without a doubt.
Wayne Brady does Let's Make a Deal now.
Yes.
It's
yeah.
still on?
Yeah,
it's actually
pretty good. Wayne Brady's a lot of fun.
What channel is it on?
I think it's Channel 2.
I was going to say, I think it's CBS. Yeah.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Like at night or when's it
right
on?
Right before Price is Right or right after? One of the two.
Yeah, it's okay. Right before Price
when
is Right.
I didn't know Price is Right was still on. When is
it
that
is.
On?
Like 10 o'clock in the morning every day.
Oh, really?
And then Let's
well,
Make a Deal
PC.
That'd
be a sure, good back-to-back
absolutely.
In the summer. You know, all the regular shows are on. Get the back-to-back game shows right. going. I think Bill's dozing off here.
What did I sign
no,
myself
just,
up for?
I'm just thinking what would be the thing on Price is Right if, or one of the things where if Vince had won a car and Monty Hall says, would you like to trade the car for what's behind this? And we'll give you a sneak peek. And they showed like a small pallet of unopened like, take the cards.
It would be like, done.
Give me the cards, man. Give me the cards.
Oh, speaking of unopened packs, we had a guy came in. He was certain that he won a case of Fleer basketball in the 80s at a golf outing. I'm like, 80s? And I go, you sure it's Fleer basketball? Absolutely sure. And how sure are you the date? I'm pretty sure it was in the 80s. It had to have been about 30 years ago. I think it was probably 86 or 87. Oh. We looked up, like, the cases and the boxes and stuff. I mean, he, on an 86 Fleer basketball sealed case, it's a minimum of $500,000. And, like, we called Bill. Like, Bill said that could be over $1 million or more.
Jeez.
87 would have been, like, over $100,000 or more probably. And he comes back, calls later in the day. He's like, oh, no, it was 91, I think, Fleer basketball.
Oh.
I tried to tell him. I go, I hear this all the time. People think they have that,
yep,
and they don't.
Yep.
And he goes, oh, well, I go, so check it out. Bring it in. Send pictures, whatever. And he called up and was like, oh. He goes, what's that worth? It's like, yeah, you don't want to know. Nothing compared to that.
Yep.
Steve from Buffalo Grove, thanks for waiting. Steve, what's up?
Hey, I have an old autograph book, and these are autographs that I collected back in the late 60s of the Chicago Bears players.
Oh, do you have Brian Piccolo in there?
Well, that's, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. So the book is, you know, it's a self-contained book, so they're, you know, they're like little sheets of,
yeah,
maybe 3x5 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have multiple autographs. So for the Piccolo autograph, there's probably 6 or 7 autographs on that particular page.
Okay, but is the Piccolo, like, do signatures overlap it, or is it clean by itself?
I believe there is one that might overlap the O in Piccolo, yeah.
Okay, because typically a Piccolo cut signature will still go for at least $500, and I think probably the card companies would like to use it. Bill, how much does it hurt to have the overlap on that signature?
Well, it's not a plus, but it's certainly not the end all either. I mean, I've seen, I'm sure you have too, where you get a signature in the packs. It's an old guy.
And yeah.
You can see part of another signature. I've seen that before many times. So
you
it's
would
not
want
the end all by any means.
If Steve decided he wanted to auction that with you, Bill, you'd want to take it?
Oh, sure. I'd prefer that, Steve. Yeah. If you're interested, you know, bring it into Tom's store or give us a call, either one.
Very good. Okay. Well, it's time for a short break now. The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. And we're giving away a box of Panini Threads basketball to one caller. Or if you tweet a picture of an item, T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID to my attention, and we use it on the show. You get in the drawing that way also. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on Saturday mornings from 7 to 8 talking about collectibles, sports, non-sports, political, pop culture, values of things that we see come through. Or you can call us if you have an item you think might be valuable. Or you can tweet a picture of an item to my attention. T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. Sometimes people bring stuff in during the week, and I'll tweet pictures of it to Triple Crown in Naperville, where I'm there 6 days a week. For instance, Rick from Villa Park brought in, this was maybe a month or so ago, he had a PSA 5 1956 Topps football 5-cent pack and a GAI 10 1961 Topps football 1-cent pack. Those are going to be in the Huggins and Scott August auction. Be interesting to see what happens with those. And whenever people bring stuff in like that, if they're interesting, we'll try to mention them on the show, tweet a picture of them when they're running, and see how things do. So we've got, let's see who's waiting the longest on the line here. We've got Danny from Norridge. Thanks for waiting, Danny. What do you have?
Hello.
Hi, Danny. What's up?
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I got two interesting pictures. I've got a snapshot. These are Polaroids.
Okay.
One of Mantle and one of Clemente, and they're both signed. And I had them authenticated by PSA a number of years ago.
Ooh. So these are snapshots you took yourself?
Yes.
Wow.
But I was wondering if these are considered Type 1 photos or not, because that I'm not unsure about.
Well, was this one of those automatic Polaroids that they had? I think they had them at the
yes.
late, where you took the picture and it automatically developed right at the time,
yes.
and then you had them
mm-hmm.
sign it there?
Yeah.
Well, technically, Bill, that's a Type 1 photo then, because it was printed at the time, right?
Oh, absolutely,
yeah.
Those are Type 1 photos. And especially the fact that you took the picture there, Danny, those are one-of-a-kind items, which bring significantly better money than a signed Clemente or a signed Mantle photo that there are hundreds of out there of the same picture.
Yeah, that would be cool. Now, do you know how to send pictures on Twitter to my attention or email me pictures? Or if you're thinking of selling them in Huggins and Scott, you could bring them into Triple Crown. I could take pictures, but I'd love to see those. Even if you're not going to sell them, I'd love to see them.
See, that I'm not really familiar with how to do it. I'm just basic on the computer. What I am going to do, I'm bringing them with me to the National, because I guess PSA is going to do on-site grading.
Okay.
I'm going to get the autographs themselves graded, and I want to make sure that they put that they are Type 1 photos and then encapsulate them for me, since they've already been authenticated as, you know, legit autographs. But I just wanted to know that there is a big difference between a Type 1 photo and a copy. That's what I was unsure of.
Oh, yes, there definitely is. Now, were they action photos, or were they just standing by the dugout, or what were the photos like?
One was the one with Clemente, he's in the batter circle, and the one with Mantle, he was coming out of a hotel, and he was nice enough to sign it for me.
Oh, really?
He stood and posed. We took a number of pictures. I was a kid. Took a picture with me and my father, and then with me by myself.
Okay. Yeah, very cool. Well, I'd like to see him sometime if you ever stop by Triple Crown, or if you ever figure out.
Are you guys
going to
be at the National?
Bill will be. Bill Huggins will be for sure.
Okay, because I've got a few things I wanted to show him.
Oh, yeah. Bill, you probably don't know where you're going to be yet, or do you know where you're going to be at the National?
Oh,
Bill?
We're going to be right in the very front of the room. As soon as you walk in, you can't miss our big, giant, lit-up 30-foot display there. It'll be right in your face.
Seriously, you're going to be at the front?
Great. Yeah.
Wow, nice, Bill. I got to like that. Well, check it out. Let's see now. The dates of the National are July 25th through July 30th.
Yes.
So, okay, yeah, cool. All
okay,
right.
Thank you.
Yes. Bill, you know how to take, well, maybe Josh or Ricky can take the pictures and email them. Bill, didn't Ricky have that one where he did your... the recording on your phone, and he said, since my dad doesn't know how to do this or something like that. That was funny. That was a good one. Well, Vince, I don't know. I'm thinking.
Oh, it's fine.
It is. It's time for Which Ended Higher in the May Huggins and Scott auction. Some interesting items. We had an Abraham Lincoln 2009 Upper Deck Prominent Cuts, 1-of-1 cut signature. A Connie Mack signed black and white Hall of Fame plaque postcard. And a Michael Jordan PSA 9 1986 Fleer rookie number 57.
Wow.
So three big items, high prices on all of them. Which one do you think ended higher?
It's really difficult to not choose Lincoln. But
Abraham
then why
Lincoln?
Would you put him in the first spot? So I think you're kind of misleading me here a little bit, so as you typically do. I'll say the Michael Jordan PSA 9. That's my choice.
Oh, boy, Vince, you overthunk it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you got to be like a hitter. Don't think in the batter's box. See, I was playing with your mind without playing with your mind.
It was a reverse psychology type
of
thing.
I didn't do a thing. The first one was Abraham Lincoln, $5,200. And you just see, you grounded into a double play where you would have had a home run if you hadn't overthunk it. Second was Connie Mack, black and white Hall of Fame postcard, $5,000, and a Michael Jordan PSA 9, $4,600, which is a very good price
All
for
very
that,
strong
yeah.
items.
Yeah, very strong. Yeah. Okay.
Losing streak continues.
You still have you still be an all-star, though, aren't
there
you? Over
go.
300 with your batting average?
Yes.
Okay, well, there you go. Next on the line, we have John from Chicago. What's up, John?
Hi.
Hi.
I've got a National League ball that's autographed by a bunch of former Cubs. I had it autographed at a fantasy camp that I went to back in the 1980s. So I saw these guys do the signatures.
So you were actually playing baseball with these guys?
Some of them, yeah. Some of them played fantasy camp with us.
How was that?
It was great. It was terrific. Yeah, I played in Wrigley Field.
Really? Did you hit any out onto the street?
No, I actually grounded out against Fergie Jenkins.
Oh.
But it was still a thrill. Anyway, it's autographed by Ernie Banks and Fergie Jenkins, a bunch of other Cubs, including 69 Cubs. Andy Pafko's on there, Randy Hundley, Glenn Beckert, Larry Bittner, Gene Oliver.
So it's a Cub ball, but it's not any one year or any one team.
No. Yeah. It's just guys who were there at the fantasy camp. So the big names are Banks and Jenkins, and then, you know, Hundley and Beckert.
Well, you'd still be over 100, I would think, and maybe more. I'd have to see it. But we got this reverb here. I heard my laugh, like, reverberating. I don't know how he was doing that with the phone. The laugh got me. It threw me all off. But okay, next on the line, we've got John from Matson. What's up, John?
Hello.
Hey, hi, how are you?
Oh, good, man.
Welcome to the show. What's up? What do you have?
I got some, I collected in the early 80s, there were some credit cards. They were MLB endorsed. I think they were mostly All-Stars. I think there was a couple years of it. I was wondering if you knew anything about it.
Well, whatever the credit line's on there, I guess they you got that going for you. I don't know. I haven't seen any. I take it they had pictures of the players on them, or what were they?
Yeah, it was one of those where they didn't have the stuff from the team on them. They were like airbrushed off. They were just pictures of the players themselves.
Hmm. I don't know.
And I think there was stats or something on the back, but I believe there was a magnetic strip back there, too.
Down goes Frazier! I think that's a knockout on that one. I just don't see value to that one. Bill, am I missing something? I don't know.
No, I remember those things. They're kind of white in color for the most part, and they looked like credit cards. They weren't actual credit cards or anything.
Okay.
That was supposed to be the design, but unfortunately, they don't have a ton of value in today's market.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Everything can't be worth $1 million, I guess. Interesting story, though, I guess. The number's 312-332-3776. You can give us a call if you have an item you want to talk about on the show, and we're giving away a 2016-17 Panini Threads basketball to one caller, or if you tweet a picture of an item, at T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. We use it on the show. You get in the drawing that way. Superman Todd is on the line.
Up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
What's up, Superman? What do you have?
Morning, guys. I was digging through some stuff, and I completely forgot I had these. A signed game-used pair of Von Miller cleats from Texas A&M.
Now, Superman, how many cleats and shoes and stuff do you think you have in your house right now from?
just pairs. I've got over 50 pairs.
Where do you store all that stuff? Do you have a room like that you just have?
A lot of them I've got on display in the man cave, and some of them I have packed away in Ziploc bags and in storage tubs.
Well, Bill Huggins.
Not a like basement area, but cool and dry, so it's safe.
That's good. Bill Huggins, what do you think of Von Miller college-worn cleats?
I mean, I would say several hundred dollars at least. I mean, he's a big-name player and like all that. What college was he from?
Texas A&M.
That's, there again, another big-time school, sure.
Yeah.
Are they both signed or one of them signed?
No, they're both signed. They're black Adidas, signed pretty good in silver Sharpie.
Oh, yeah. No, I think those are certainly marketable for sure.
Okay, very good. Now, let's see some other things that have ended in the Huggins and Scott May auction. There were some tickets. You know, a lot of people save ticket stubs or sometimes full tickets, whatever. So here's a few things that ended, some older ones. There was a September 20th, 1968 ticket stub from Mickey Mantle's last career home run game, graded PSA 3, so on a scale of 1 to 10, not that high of a grade, $925 for that ticket stub. September 24th, 1957, Last game at Ebbets Field ticket stub. PSA 2, $575 for that ticket. This would have been a good ended higher.
Yes, yes.
The third one was a 1932 World Series Game 4 ticket stub. Babe Ruth's last World Series game. And that one, I think that was a graded authentic, $350. I would have thought that would have been the higher one of the three of them, but it wasn't. See, I caught that when that fell back in catch. Without looking, that's
not bad. Not bad.
John from Michigan is on the line. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I was telling the guy that I talked to when I called in, just kind of curious, I got a ball that, from what I've been told, is autographed by the 1954 Giants. Definitely has Willie Mays on it, kind of a background. Supposedly my uncle was buddies with a guy that used to work at the Polo Grounds, kind of fell into his lap. Wow. I got it as a Christmas gift probably 20-some-odd years ago.
Wasn't that the year that Willie Mays made the catch in center field?
Yeah, running? Yeah.
Okay, here's a quiz for you, John.
Jack Brickhouse. Oh, sorry. I ruined it.
Well, it's time for a break anyway.
Oh, man. Tough start.
Would you have been able to guess that, who the announcer on television was for that, John?
No, I hope you were good for a hitter or something, you know. I think, what is it, Rosen that hit the ball, maybe. But
I think it was Vic Wertz that hit the ball. Like, that would have been another good quiz. Yeah. But anyway, Bill, we're time for a short break. So what do you give for an estimate on that ball if it's a team-signed 54 Giants ball with Willie Mays on it?
I mean, if it's got 20-plus signatures in good shape on an official ball, it's 1,000-plus.
Yeah, very nice. That'd be a good Huggins and Scott auction item. Time for another short break. The number's 312-332-3776. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
This is Chicago's Game Day. Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. If you have something you think might be good enough to go in a Huggins and Scott auction, or you just want to tell us what you have, give us a call, 312-332-3776. We're giving away a Panini Threads basketball box to one caller. Or if you tweet a picture of an item, T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, and we use it on the show. You get in the drawing that way. If you bring something in during the week to Triple Crown in Naperville, I tweet about it and use that on the show. You get in the drawing that way. So lots of things coming in, that's for sure, and lots of cool stuff ending in Huggins and Scott, and lots of good things already in for the August Huggins and Scott auction. So we got a lot of callers waiting here. Let's get right to them. We've got Chris from McHenry is on the line. What's up, Chris?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
My concern with the collectible world right now is companies like Fanatics and some of these other ones that are signing these players to exclusive deals and the prices that they're charging on some of the items now. Like, I just heard you guys talk about a 54 complete team signed baseball from the Giants with Willie Mays on there. You're estimating it at $1,000. Where these guys are selling a World Series ball, which I understand, you know, Cubs fans spend a lot of money, but they're selling a team signed ball for $2,300 from a 2016 team. What are your guys' thoughts?
Well, I agree with you. I don't like exclusive deals, and where I really don't like them is when the card companies do it on autographed cards of like rookies or star players, because all it does is it might be good for the player. It might be good for the individual company that signs them, but it's not good for collectors, because we'll use an example in basketball. Okay. Michael Jordan and LeBron James have Upper Deck exclusive agreements, so they can't have autographed cards and a lot of other good cards in Panini, which has the license for basketball. It would be a much better product if you could get those guys in there. It hurts everybody to me. I think, and now with rookies, okay, probably I can see this happening, that Ball is going to not want, he's not going to have, his dad's going to have some exclusive agreement for autographs. I would almost bet that he won't have autographed cards in Panini. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll sign him to some big deal. But I think it's the leagues have to do something about that. If they looked, which is sometimes I think the people at the top of the leagues don't even care. Look, all they care about is how much money they get in on each contract. But if they looked at it, the sales of the products would be much better if you had every single rookie in a draft that could potentially have autographs if the card company wants them in there. And some of the other exclusives as far as outside of things, I don't think there's anything you can do about that. You know, if a company's willing to do it and, you know, then that's just kind of the way it is. But, it's when the card companies are licensed by the leagues. The league should do something about that. Whether legally they can or not, that I don't know. But I sure would like to see that. So I understand your dislike of that. I don't like it either, but I think, unfortunately, it's a fact of life.
Well, you know, Chris, I'll tell you, Chris, the reason that the 54 Giants ball is probably around 1,000 or so and that the new Cubs thing is 2,300, it's simple. Econ 101, it's supply and demand. The demand for that Cubs ball right now far, far exceeds the demand for a 54 Giants ball.
That's
and
true.
The audience out there is just so big for a brand new thing like that. Now, is that thing going to hold its value? History tells us no. Because when the Yankees balls came out with Jeter, when all the other team balls came out, they are sold at that time for $1,500, $1,800, $2,300. And if you look back at what those balls are selling for now, it's half that at best.
The White Sox balls are a perfect example of that. The 2005 White Sox team signed items are way lower than when they first came out. But when it first happens, and especially when, you know, when the Cubs and White Sox hadn't won in so long, you know, everybody wants it right then, and it is supply and demand.
If you want to be the first. You want to be the first one on your block to own one of those things, and money is not a problem for you. It's available.
Right. Now, as far as the exclusives and the card companies, that's a whole different story, and I can't think of really one good thing for collectors with that at all. I really don't think there is one. Well, let's get back to the calls here. We got a bunch waiting. A lot of callers up and at them today. We've got Patrick from West Chicago on the line. What's up, Patrick?
What's going on, guys?
Not too much.
I got an old Chicago Stadium seat that my dad had Blackhawks season tickets for about 20 years, and in the final Blackhawks game, brought a screwdriver with him and giving it to me at this point. I was just curious on what's the type of thing kind of worth.
The padded red seat, is that what it is, with no arms?
No arms, padded, red. Absolutely.
Yeah, I have a row of three of them in a T-Crown right now on consignment. We're asking $5.95 for the three of them, if that, you know, gives you an idea right there. Cool seats, but they don't seem to sell for as much as some of the old baseball stadium seats do, at least not at this time. Okay, here is, let's see if I'm getting the right one here. This is Michael from Chicago. What's up, Michael?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Mike Fantasis. How's everything going, okay?
Good. Now, I think I've heard this story. Let's see if this is what I'm thinking of. Tell us your story.
I'm famous for making the best catch ever by a fan at the Bears game. I jumped out of the stands in 95.
Now, you're famous in whose minds? Your mind or the rest of the world?
Well, we're going to ask right now. How much is my 1995 ESPY worth? Outrageous play of the year.
You got an ESPY for that, huh? Cool.
You're doing it, buddy. 38 most memorable moments of Monday Night History. I'm 21.
Nice.
I was play of the year on everything except CNN.
You know, I'll tell you, Michael, if I need an agent, I think you want me to buy, I want you to be my agent because you're a very good agent for yourself here. You got all your personal stats. So what do you want to know about, is there something that you have value? You want to know what your ESPY's worth or what the ball's worth?
Yeah, what do you think that ESPY's worth from 95? Outrageous play of the year.
First off, can you even sell one of those, Bill? But if you could, it would probably be a lot.
I'm not 100% sure what the license or if there's any underlying rules that we could sell that.
Yeah, we'd have to check that out. Bill, if
you're looking to sell that. Crystal, the guy that made them was by, you know, he made stuff for the presidents. And
I know, like, that, like you can't sell. You haven't won an Oscar, have you, Michael? I know you can't sell those, but some of those awards you can't sell. We'll have to look into that and see. And, you know, if I see if any have sold, there might be something. You see, the Cubs didn't want their people that they gave World Series rings to sell them,
right.
That they'd sell them back to them first. Yeah. So yeah, you never know on some. On items like that, if they actually can be sold or not.
I don't know if you saw Mike's catch. That was a great catch in 95. That was a great catch.
I kind of remember
that.
That
was a great catch. I'm sure it's on YouTube, so people should see it.
Maybe Mike can send it to us.
I'm sure he will.
I'm sure he's got it on his phone and ready to go. Mike from Hammond, Indiana is on the line. What do you have there, Mike?
Hey, how you doing? I won a 1975 whole team autograph Notre Dame football. And it's all signed in ballpoint pen. Some of them are kind of fading, but I was just wondering.
Who's some of the bigger names on the 75 team?
Montana.
Montana was on in 75?
They won in that's the year they won the national championship, I believe, in 76, right?
Because Montana didn't. Well, maybe. I thought he was a rookie in 80. I guess maybe your year's wrong on it. What do you think, Bill, if it's in the 70s signed ball from. And it's a championship year or not championship year, the difference in value. If Montana's
well,
on it.
Well, Mike said it's kind of faded. I don't know how faded. But it could certainly be, you know, if it is the championship year with Montana, if you could still read most of the signatures clearly, it's worst case probably 500. Best case could be a couple thousand.
Yeah, a lot depends how it looks and how people are going after it. Montana's a key on that one, though, so that's good. Let's see here. Next on the line, we've got Chris from Hammond, Indiana. What's going on there, Chris?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Good. I have a Michael Jordan 86 clear, 8 of 11. It's a card, but it's like a sticker card.
The rookie sticker, then, yeah.
Yeah, you guys, I'm sure, are familiar with it. I don't have it graded, but it's been in a plastic hard case with, like, screws in it and everything since I was a little kid. Just wondered what kind of value it might have.
A lot of those were funky centering on them. If yours is well-centered and sharp, I would recommend getting that graded, wouldn't you, Bill?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're going to need it to be 55-45 at worst all the way around, but if it does in sharp corners, you get that thing in a 9 or even a 10 holder, you're into thousands.
Okay, the front looks pretty good. I mean, the corners are crisp and everything. The back is off-centered a little bit. It's like a little crooked.
Yeah, it seems like all of them are. How,
okay.
Yeah, but are there any of them that have been graded that you know of, Bill, that don't have any type of crookedness on the back of the card, or are they all that way?
Oh, no, there are some that are fine.
Those really? Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Well, it might not do that well if it got graded, but if it, you know, we'd have to look at it to tell for sure. But it sounds like if it is funky and there are some that aren't funky, then you're out-funked, I guess, on that one. Ralph from Oak Lawn's on the line. What do you have there, Ralph?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I've got a 2005 Major League Baseball issue World Series base from the White Sox. They had it in one of those in-game auctions.
Mm.
So it has the
MLB hologram on it?
I'd have to pull it out and look at it, but I had the White Sox give me a certificate of authenticity saying that it was Major League Baseball issued since I bought it from the White Sox.
Okay.
So I'm assuming the hologram's on there because it came directly from the White Sox, and it was in 2006, the year after they won the World Series.
Oh, I thought you said it was a World Series base.
Well, it's the base that they were using. So there were four home games scheduled. So it's a This one isn't game used. It's brand new. So since there were only two games at Sox Park, they had two games worth of bases that weren't used.
I see.
So it's a brand new base. You know, it's got the logo on the side for the mm-hmm. World Series for that year. So it's the base that was issued by Major League Baseball to the White Sox for the 05 World Series.
Now, the fact that it wasn't actually used in a World Series game, Bill, it still would have some value, but what do you think is the difference than if it was, like, let's say it was first base used in game two or whatever?
Yeah, I think you're definitely talking a radical difference in value there. But, I mean, I think with the proper documentation and everything, they, like you said, they probably made, you know, three bases for each of the three or four games that were there. So there's only eight or ten of these out there, and unless they change them sometimes at the fifth inning, so in which case there's twice that. But you've still got one of, at worst case, 15 or 20 items. So I would still say that's a very desirable item. It may be something you would want to get autographed by some of the members of the World Series team. That would be
a good idea, actually. I think it was first base of Game 7 of the World Series the Cubs won went for over $100,000. So, wow. I mean, but that's different. You know, that's the Cubs won the series, and that was first base in Game 7, you know. So, yeah. But I think it went for over $100,000. So some of those things really can go for a lot. I think his, not so much. Yeah, it'd be more something neat to get signed. Pistol Pat's on the line. What's new, Pistol?
Not much. It's just the same old, but you got a great show there, T-Crown, Tom.
Thanks, Pistol.
I got a couple items for you real quick. I got a Yao Ming autograph card. I think it's from, I forgot what year, but it's Topps Pristine, and it's autographed by Yao Ming.
Okay.
And then the second items I got are two deceased players that played in Major League Baseball, and their life was cut short, Oscar Taveras and Jose Fernandez. If there's a market or what for that, I'm not sure. But if you could give me some advice on those, I'd be appreciative.
I don't think, because their careers were so short, I think the long-term demand is just not really going to be there for those two guys.
Uh-huh.
Do you agree with that, Bill, or Vince?
I think Jose Fernandez has more of a loyal following than Taveras did, because Taveras didn't really do anything in the major league, didn't establish himself as a solid player.
Right.
Jose
did. And Jose was big in the area for sure, but I just don't know the long-term and the story behind how it happened is going to hurt, I think, the value long-term.
Yeah, for both guys.
Also, unfortunately, let's get going here. We got some more, and time is running low, so let's see here. Tony from Plainfield. What's up, Tony? What do you have?
Yeah, I've got about a 6 or 7 foot cardboard display. It's from Nestle's. It's of Babe Ruth, and it folds in half and stands up. It says Nestle celebrates Babe Ruth's 100th anniversary. Got pictures of candy bars above his head, but he's standing there with holding the three bats.
Oh, so the 100th anniversary of his birthday? So this was in the 90s?
Yeah, this was in 95.
What do you think of that, Bill?
I also have a Don Larson perfect game 8x10 autograph picture.
Those wouldn't be much, $20-$30 on that. What about the Babe Ruth Nestle cardboard display, Bill? You think that might be cool?
I think it's probably a neat item. I don't know as far as the value goes. Something like that from the 90s, it could be $50 or $100.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking also. Okay, real quick here now, Tim from Ogden Dunes, real quick, what you have?
Yes, sir. Quickly, Mickey Mantle from my childhood about 50 years ago, late 60s, maybe bobblehead with the magnet on the bottom. Thank you. Enjoy your show.
Some of those can be good, Bill. What's a good Mantle bobblehead price?
In clean condition, if you have the box, they can be $400 to $600.
And it would be worth auctioning?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We sold many of those.
Thanks. Okay, Vince, time to do the drawing.
This week's winner is Steve from Buffalo Grove. So, Steve, email me your address to vince@ercdelivery.com. We'll get back to you, set up delivery free of charge.
Very good. And don't forget to check out HugginsandScott.com. They'll be getting up the previews of their August auction soon. Lots of things are already coming in for their August auction. And Bill will be set up at the National, Bill Huggins, July 25th to July 30th in Rosemont. And you can come to Triple Crown in Naperville 6 days a week. I'm there hanging around. And Eric Ostrowski, thanks for being here today, and another good job. Have a great week, everybody.